By word and lyre, let thy desire resound in soul and string. Set fervor's spark to cold, hard hearts, and stir the stones to sing. Welcome to the Orpheus Protocol. This week's episode, The Shudder, Part 1. The Shudder contains violence, sexual situations, drug use, and other content too malign to name. You have been warned. Let's meet the Orpheus operatives for this adventure.
I'm Dan, and I'll be playing Zachary Feynman, a former Black Ops soldier who's been headhunted by Orpheus. About 20 years ago, as a child, Zach was involved in an incident where about 24 people disappeared from a summer camp, and he was one of only two that returned. But more on that in the game, I guess.
I'm Stacy, and I'll be playing Dr. Caitlin Danvers. Caitlin has a PhD in psychology and sociology, and specializes in cults and their underlying psychology. Also, she's a psychic. Caitlin's research into a New Age cult called the Prophecy Children got her worried that they might be arming or planning some sort of terrorist activity, so she got them put on Orpheus's radar.
I'm John, and I'll be playing Koji Miyazaki. The alarm Dr. Danvers raised about the Prophecy Children led Orpheus to deploy a mole to spy on the cult, and that mole is Koji. Koji's integrated himself to the cult by giving them access to various psychoactive drugs, kind of a Dr. Feelgood type of guy.
And now, without further ado, The Shudder. Alright guys, the year is 1969, and the counterculture circles of central Indiana, such as they are abuzz with talk of the Prophecy Children's self-styled prophet who calls himself Isaiah, though Zachary knows his real name to be Gerald. Gerald was the other child who returned from the disappearance of a couple dozen people in the same woods in central Indiana that the Prophecy Children now operate in. Isaiah has promised a great miracle that will soon change the very ways of life as we understand it. Zachary, Dr. Danvers, and Koji have all been given orders to infiltrate the cult at its compound, which is located deep in the woods at the country residence of the late Benjamin Weiss, a groundbreaking special effects artist who made a fortune in Hollywood and signed all his property and money to the fledgling cult. Your assignment is to assess if there is any true magic being performed and to suppress any such activity, bringing back any useful materials you can secure. But the operation has been complicated by the simultaneous reception of junk radio signals by satellites to which Orpheus has access, coded magnetic field fluctuations, and prophetic visions by the Central Divination Bank. All these disparate sources have one message: Gravity Hill. Gravity Hill is known to Orpheus as an urban legend concerning a hill somewhere in central Indiana where, if you park your car at just the right spot, you'll begin to roll uphill. Zachary and Caitlin's supplemental orders are to travel to the probable location of Gravity Hill, which Orpheus has given you, and to take scientific readings and verify any anomalous activity. Koji is to break away from the Prophecy Children as soon as he is able, and rendezvous with you at Gravity Hill before escorting you back to the cult's central compound at the Weiss Estate. It's all just, you know, soybean fields and woods, kind of alternately. As you drive down to where Gravity Hill is, you're probably looking at like a 3-hour drive or more, probably more like 5, because I'm guessing the regional office for Orpheus is probably somewhere in Chicagoland, so.
Yeah, up in the region there.
Yeah, it's a pretty long drive.
And then we gotta drive around Podunkville, Indiana.
Yep, the food's pretty bad everywhere you stop, in pretty much the same bland way. You eventually, as you're getting closer, get a radio communication on like your Orpheus CB, whatever their sort of secret frequency.
Our 30-pound walkie-talkie.
Yeah. Yeah. Miyazaki, you are up there at Gravity Hill, or at least where you think it is, hailing the van to rendezvous. And you guys eventually collapse down on the probable location. You guys are awfully glad to be getting out of this fucking van. At least stretch your legs. And there is another Orpheus agent waiting for you. What does he look like?
So Koji is he's probably closer to 5'6", you know, of Japanese descent. So black hair, slight build, but he's got kind of a bit of a beer belly, but it's not from beer. It's from munchies. He's just not, doesn't seem like a particularly athletic guy. Doesn't seem like a particularly smart guy, but he's really just, he smiles when he sees, you know, the other agents coming up, and just real earnest, sweet energy.
And actually, what do the other two of you look like?
So do you want to start first, Doctor?
I guess. So I am about 5'7". I have long, dark hair and brown eyes. I'm average build, nothing spectacular about me.
Except for that big, beautiful brain.
Yes.
All right, and what's Zach looking like these days?
Well, Zach's still pretty trim, has to keep in good shape despite being out of the formal service. Orpheus keeps him working pretty hard and on a pretty strict physical regimen. He keeps his hair cropped pretty close, dark hair. He's probably about, not even probably, he is 5'8", sort of a slight build, but looks like he spends probably too much time in the gym trying to make up for it. And his civvies consist of just dungarees and black t-shirt and a light jacket. Do either of you guys wear glasses?
Certainly.
No.
And does Dr. Koji wear a lab coat? I'm picturing him in a lab coat with like a bunch of stains on it.
Not out and about. No, he probably would in situations with prophecy children, but not here.
So you're a Japanese guy who provides lots of weird pills for people for their entertainment. I just realized you are Dr. Mario.
Well, I realized, I was looking at this, I realized the character sheet, he's a one in cognition. I think he's a dropout.
Or practical knowledge over theoretical knowledge.
He's burning string every time he's trying to do anything with that.
Yeah, forced by parents to stay in school and to go into something they thought would make, you know, be a doctor, that's where you're going to make money. Actually, probably grew up in an internment camp, actually.
Oof, yep.
If we're in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do well in college, just didn't really have the brains for it, but made a lot of money on the side, hooking friends up who were working really hard.
Uh-huh.
keeping them awake.
Made more money than they're gonna make.
Correct. You realize very quickly that the cart was before the horse when it came to that.
And I think it's always been kind of just like a pleasure over anything else lifestyle. But just, we, you know, from a sweet, happy perspective, not anything insidious.
All right, so Caitlin and Zachary, you get out of the car to stretch your legs, and this really bubbly, earnest-looking little Japanese guy sort of jogs up to meet you.
Hey!
How you doing, Doc?
Good, man. How are you?
All right. Name's Zach.
Yeah, figured. How's it going, Koji? What's up? And you must be...
Caitlin. Canisius.
Caitlin, yes.
Yes.
Yes, hi.
I guess I can't call you both Doc.
Oh, don't.
I can't
don't.
Call you both Dr. K. That's gonna get confusing.
Don't call me Doc. That's not... That's only my nickname, man. I'm not a real doctor. I'm gonna hop in the car.
Well, fair enough. Well, I mean, this is supposed to be one of the spots that this hill could be, so maybe we should bust out the spectrograph and the spook meter and see what we can figure out.
All right. You guys unwrap.
Oh wait, we're at the hill. Shit. I'm gonna hop right back out of the car. Didn't need to get in, huh? Okay. All righty.
Well, you're excited. It's just nerves, I guess.
Yeah,
that's what we'll call it. Go ahead and somebody give me a... Well, shit, this will probably just be a cognition roll, unless you guys have, like, intelligence tech skill, which I don't think you guys do necessarily.
I mean, I've got investigation, so I can...
I would let you do an investigation roll with it, especially because I think you have intelligence training, don't you? Like... bonus to surveillance tactics.
I've got I certainly
so,
do.
Yeah, go ahead and make me a cognition roll and use investigation.
Okay, let me just double check my list of how I can use my 5 investigation.
Oh god. That means out of combat you get a free reroll per scene from the third rank. Like the first two ranks are just more strain that you can spend. It raises your limit.
Right.
The third rank is a reroll out of combat or the ability to buy down initiative costs with strain in combat.
Right.
4 is in combat, you can ignore negatives, all negatives for a full round for 1 strain. Out of combat, you can just say, rather than taking this roll, I'm going to take a +1, like net, And five is the creation of three temporary strain that has to be used on that skill and expires at the end of the scene.
Okay. Well, given that I am really good at this, also it says out of combat I can just take a plus two in lieu of rolling dice. I mean, I figure I may as well just use it all. Just take the plus two, use the three temporary strain.
Oh god, so you're just a cognition plus five? Gosh. Like, first roll of the official Orpheus crew is just like a fucking seven.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So I guess with that kind of role, you're delegating smaller tasks out to the other people and getting everything set up. And you come up with a really fucking precise set of measurements that are corroborated by multiple different readings. You're going to need to go about a mile and a half deeper into the woods on this road, though. Like, the road will be real close to the ground zero, if not actually the road crossing it. So the stories about people experiencing something weird in their cars looking a little bit better. So do you guys want to pile in and go ahead and get to that location?
Sure, let's roll out. Let's pack all this shit back in, wrap it up, and get in the woods.
On your way there, it's a very short drive, obviously, but I would like any and all of you who are interested to make an awareness check with perception.
I'll do it.
For reminder purposes, This is a 3d6 roll, which are 3d fudge, minus 1, 0, plus 1, and you're adding your perception stat, and what kind of shit you can do with your strain is based on awareness skill.
Alright. So I got a negative. I'm actually going to re-roll that, because I've got awareness 5, so I have a re-roll.
So these are your two things.
I have a 1.
Still a negative 1. So I got a net 2 on my awareness check.
Okay.
Net 1. Thomas the Box Rocks.
Okay, I am lost. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all
this
good.
This is perfect.
Okay, so I rolled the D3, and I got a plus 1, so I just add that to my perception.
All the skill checks and stat checks in the game are a flat number, which is your relevant attribute, in this case, perception. Then you roll your 3D6 and total those up and add those together, and then what skills do is it determines what you can do strain to add to your checks. Generally, you can only spend one strain for a plus one, and you can always do that after seeing the dice. Like, you never have to spend strain blind. But if you have rank 1 or rank 2 in a skill, you can spend 2 or even 3 strain for like a plus 2 or 3. Then rank 3 lets you get the reroll. Rank 4 lets you take a plus 1 in lieu of rolling. Rank 5 lets you take a plus 2 in lieu of rolling, or get temporary strain to really boost the hell out of it.
Okay, so if I have a 4 in awareness, then I have a master rank?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry, I'm a learn by doing person, so this is all very...
Well, it's good then that we're doing.
Yeah. One strain to ignore. Okay, that's fine. I got a 4.
Wow, okay, that's much better. It's very, very faint, but I'm going to go ahead and say that Dr. Miyazaki put on some funked out psychedelic tunes on the radio on the way up there, and there's a slight, like, audio loss, a slight dip in the quality of the recording as it comes through, and it's almost imperceptible, but it's patterned. Like, there's a definite interval between these little blips, and you note that as you get closer to the location that you're headed to, the interval is getting faster.
Am I the only one who notices this?
Well, no one else seems to have commented on it. Zach's just, I don't know who's driving. I assume it's not Miyazaki.
It's not me.
Zach's driving. He just sort of gets in the driver's seat. He doesn't even stop to think that either the other two are gonna...
So yeah, Koji seems out off in his own little world, and Zach seems focused on the road, not hearing anything.
Okay, I would mention the blips to the rest of the party.
You sure?
I'm fairly positive.
When I focus on it, does that make it... Can I pick it out after I'm looking for it, or is it still...
You add, what, a 2?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you turn it up and listen to it really hard, you can hear it just a little tiny bit. You're pretty surprised that she was able to hear it where the volume was at before, because you're usually pretty good at noticing things.
Well, I had other stuff on my mind.
Sure.
It's pretty far out, man. What do you make of that?
Dude, it's real loud, man. Like,
that's how you're supposed to listen to music.
Man, that's not true. Real quiet. Get in the right mood. Never mind. I'm sorry.
Just need to rock and roll, bud. Anyway, but rock and roll. Dr. Kate, what do you make of that? I mean, seems like we're on the right track, but...
I don't know. I mean, I guess that means we're on the right track. And as we get closer, I'm very curious to see what changes.
Everything's changing, man.
As you keep going, that gets to the point where the interval is not really an interval anymore. It's so fast that it's basically constant. And then as you drive even 50 more feet down the road, it returns at a super fast interval and starts to slow down.
Oh, let's back up. Let's try and stop on where that was happening.
All right, so you're going to try to stop the van right where the distortion effect was constant?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not going to make you do a drive check for that. It's very easy because you've got this little canary in your employ here. So good job on the awareness check, Dr. Danvers. That made this far easier.
Yeah.
So you stop the car right where that is. What do you do? Yeah, you're right in the middle of whatever this is now.
Let's put the car in neutral. See what direction we roll.
I'm going to hop out.
You were, in fact, going slightly downhill, like very, very slight downhill grade on the road to get to this point. I guess you were backing up uphill, but like the nose of your car is pointed down.
Right.
Ever so slightly. So Koji gets out and sort of looking at the car, waiting for it to maybe bite him or something. I don't know.
I'm just gonna look around, see what's up.
Okay.
Get a vibe of the place.
All right. That's great. So there is, it's really hard to tell inside the car because, you know, you're waiting for this to happen. And so it's easy for your mind to kind of play tricks on you.
Mm-hmm.
But you feel like maybe your body is being ever so slightly pushed to one side and up the hill. You know how you feel when you're taking a very long turn, like on an on-ramp to a interstate or something like that?
Yeah.
But a very, very light version of that, like much less than you would feel in that actual situation. But it gets you that same feeling in the pit of your stomach, like you're moving when you clearly are not. And then you hear the slightest crunch of gravel underneath your van's tires as the van begins to creak and slightly start rolling uphill.
I would like to look for Koji to make sure that he's not pushing the vehicle. Okay.
Good call. Koji, what have you been up to? This process I described took like, you know, about a minute and a half.
Yeah, I mean, I walked around, probably walked to the edge of the street, kind of peeked into the bushes, and just kind of checked out the place, got a vibe. Minute and a half, man, that I would have done anything different or done anything much.
Okay.
Do I see this?
Let's get an awareness check from you then, okay, because there may be something to notice.
I was going to say, well, this might be unrelated. I was going to, like, when we heard the gravel crunching, even before that, really, when you talked about the feeling in the pit of the stomach, I was thinking of yelling to Miyazaki to take a look at the car and see if anything's happening.
Oh, okay. So let's deal with what he saw before that, and then he'll get called back by you once the effect starts taking hold.
Okay, so I will roll. Plus one on the dice, and I'm at a 3 in perception anyway, so I'll go in with a 4.
Okay. What you notice is that there are a sizable number of crows roosted up in the trees around here, and they were cawing and bickering at each other as they normally would, very talkative animals. But when the van stopped and got put into neutral and you jumped out, the talking amongst the birds dies away, and you're looking up at these crows, and all of a sudden all of them sort of silently take to wing and all go land in the same tree a little ways off into the woods, and they sort of all line up on the branches of this tree and just sort of sit there very impassively. It's pretty weird.
Crows are smart. They're telling us something.
You hear Zach yell from the van something.
Hey Miyazaki, take a look and see if the van's moving.
And I see that it is, right?
Yeah, ever so slightly.
I'll blink real hard, kind of see if it's really doing that. Hydrogen, helium, lithium, beryllium, boron, carbon, nitrogen, oxygen, fluorine. Holy shit. I
All right, yeah, it's really doing it.
Ah, okay. Yeah, man, you're going up.
So, Koji, from your outsider perspective, you're not in the vehicle. You have an opportunity. I just want a raw cognition roll.
Thanks.
Big money, no whammy. And remember, yeah, this is, you know, you can still use one strain if you want.
Yeah, I understand. No, that's cool. Two.
Two? All right, you have to confirm this, but you think that the direction that the van is slightly rolling is awful close to, like, a line towards that tree where all the crows just went.
You guys, there's The ley lines are acting up. The lines are all crisscrossed in my mind. I'm gonna go check something out.
Where are you going, bud?
Just over here, just this tree.
Let me go with you.
Yeah.
And I'll put the car in park.
We should all go.
Yeah.
All right. So you guys both get out of the car. I assume you put it in the park.
I put the car in park.
and I'll point out, guys, look, check this out. Look in the trees. The crows, they're all in this line. Like, they're saying something to us. Crows are so smart. Like, I've read about this. They're, you know, corvids in general are so much more intelligent than birds, and research is being done on this. I had this friend, man, and I would hook him up with the best stuff.
So these birds are sitting there, sure.
But they're in a line.
Yeah, I see that.
They weren't before, but they weren't before.
Oh, yeah, I'm not dismissing you, man. I'm just trying to get you to stop babbling at me.
Oh.
So, okay.
All right, man. That's cool. I'm good. Yeah, let's check this out. Let's see what's going on.
So you guys are going out there?
I want to approach the crows very slowly and cautiously. Okay.
I'm just walking up to them.
Slowly and cautiously. Cautiously to the point of stealth, or cautiously to the point of making an awareness check just to make sure that there's nothing else going on?
Stealth. I want to try to touch one.
Okay.
Is my end goal.
Okay. All right.
They're
interesting.
They're up in branches,
right?
They're not on the ground.
Yeah, although some of them on the lower branches, if you went on tippy toes, you might be able. It's fall, right? And this is a tree that was very heavy with fruit earlier on, probably an apple tree that now is bare. So there are some branches that have dipped very low toward the ground and been bent over the course of the growing season. So let's get a stealth check then. That is dexterity.
Okay.
Modified by stealth skill if you got it. Otherwise, just dexterity.
That did not work out well. Let me see what I have for strain.
Well, I mean, if you don't have the skill, you can only spend one strain to get
a plus
one. I have
a genius rank in it.
Mm.
You can do tons of stuff.
Yeah. So even though I already rolled, outside of combat, even though I already rolled, can I go ahead and take the plus two, or do I have to announce that before?
Strain and skill stuff is the only thing in this game that's friendly to players. You never have to determine how you spend strain before rolling dice, and that includes using your skill bonuses.
Then I will go ahead and take this plus two
rather than my die roll,
okay. Which will give me a five.
A five. All right. I'm going to roll for the crows.
You could spend some more strain if you wanted to. You've got like that pool of three free strain for that from the genius.
For each scene. Yeah.
No, that's okay.
Ooh, bad roll.
Bad for me or bad for you?
Yes.
Oh.
Ooh.
Zach and Koji, you actually lose track of Caitlin for a second. Her footfalls are preternaturally silent. She's just very, very effectively avoiding the dried leaves and sticks and stuff on the ground, and some underbrush gets between you and her, and you actually can't, even with like your soldier experience, you can't tell exactly where she is. If you were in a firefight with her right now, you'd be very scared. So Caitlin, you reach the base of this tree. The sneaky way takes you kind of a circuitous, like kind of a hook-shaped route to the tree, so you're kind of along its side. So you guys see her sort of come out of the bushes in a low crouch, and she reaches slowly up and touches the leg of one of these crows that didn't even turn to regard her. She was so quiet.
Holy shit.
Man.
From your perspective, it's weird. It doesn't react like a crow would. It didn't flap or carve, make a big fuss. It just sort of slowly turned its head nearly 180 degrees like they do to look at her. But from your perspective, Caitlin, there in your mind is a flash of warm light, and you sort of lose track of the scene that you're in, and you feel like you're floating in a warm, sort of formless existence, and you think you can hear a voice. I'd like you to go ahead and make a stability check.
Oh no. Okay. That's a one.
So you're just at a one?
Yeah.
Oof. All right, so you're going to take 3 points of stability damage from the disorientation. That said, you can prevent this damage with spiritual strain if you wish.
Well, one of it.
No. She can spend three and prevent all three if she wants.
Then I will do that.
Okay, so you spend 3 spiritual strain just to keep yourself together, and you hear a voice, a sort of a feminine
mostly androgynous, but maybe with a slight lilt of feminine to it, just right in the center of your mind, and you hear it say,
"You are not the one who was supposed to come. Where is the one that I sent for?"
"Who are you looking for?"
"I seek the child. The child who spoke to me. It has been years by your reckoning."
"Then the child may no longer be a child."
"That is the way of your world."
"Is the child of my world?"
"Yes, a boy child. He walked in my woods long ago."
"Can I roll psychometry? Is that how you say that?"
"Yeah."
"Okay, can I roll that to see if I can get something more about the child? Or..."
"Yeah, but you would have to touch something that the child had touched. Like, I'll just tell you as a courtesy, rolling psychometry on a clearly occult-possessed animal might just melt your brain."
"Well, what's the harm in that?" "No."
"Yeah, yeah. No.
This is a one-off game, Rob."
"Yeah, yeah.
Go big
balls
or go
to the wall. Balls to the wall. Show me the mythos."
"Okay, well then I will wait and maybe try to touch the ground or something in a little bit."
"Okay.
What does look like to..." "Oh, go ahead."
"Oh, sorry. I'm..."
"Go ahead, go
just
ahead.
Want to ask
ahead,
one question."
"Yeah, like this, like almost no time has passed from your perspective. Like she has touched this crow and it started looking at her and she seems to have locked eyes with it. What's your question, Stacey?"
"Do you have a name for the child?"
"Name? Yes, I forget that those of your place are fond of using sounds in this way. Zachary is what he was called by those he knew."
"Okay, that's... I don't have any more questions. I would try to attempt to remove myself from the situation."
"Sure, when you pull your hand back, you're all of a sudden back in your body again, and you feel a sense of vertigo, and you sort of stumble. Which you guys see. And the crows don't react to that either."
Zach is going to walk quickly, sort of warily but quickly, like hands up toward Dr. Caitlin.
She sort of reels a bit.
"You all right, Doc? Feeling all right?"
"I think I'm okay. Can you help me back to the van?"
"Sure. Yeah, I can do that. Or my name's not Zach Feynman."
If it looks like Zachary is doing a good job of helping Caitlin, everything's fine. I'm going to step a little closer to the crows, kind of squint at them, be like, "Is there anything you want to tell us?"
Actually, give me, sadly, once again, this is, I can give you an awareness check on this one.
All right. That's a minus one on the dice, and three perceptions, so that's a two. I'll burn a mental strain. I'll go to five.
Okay.
So that's a three.
That's enough. You ask them if there's anything they want to tell you, and you see that in eerie unison, as Zach and Caitlin make their way back toward the van, all their little heads are swiveling to follow where they're going. Like, so they're staring after the two of them.
Oh, so all of them are now looking at Caitlin and Zachary.
Yep, like you wave your hand a little bit, snap your fingers, makes no difference.
Thank you. I'm going to, like, back away without turning away from them.
Uh-huh.
Clearly unnerved.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
This is fucked up.
So, Doc, did it, like, stun you or, like, electrocute you or something?
I don't think those are normal crows. I was in this weird space and they spoke to me.
Oh.
Of a child named Zachary.
Well, I mean, this is pretty close to where I went missing.
You went missing?
Well, only for a few hours, but I think that's why Orpheus has got me on this one. I was camping in the same forest. Must have been 20 years ago.
Is that an earshot for me?
Yeah, I assume you're backing up toward the van, right?
Yeah. Well, dude, crows have good memories.
I don't...
Like, they can even tell one generation from the next about someone that attacked them and, like, their face and a mask and stuff. They know they can talk, so they remember you, man.
Can I see your hand?
Sure. Hold out.
I will dumbly put on minus two.
Yes. I just need Zach's hand. Sorry, Koji.
That's cool. I'll keep it then.
I can use this hand to hold my spliff. All right, so I take it you're going to read his palm with psychometry.
I would like to do that.
I will light up while she does.
Though this is very
beautiful.
This is very superfluous for a one shot. This is the point at which you would roll humanity loss for using an ability.
Yeah.
Which is just you roll your 3d6 and every negative that comes up is 1 point of humanity loss.
I'm gonna roll it anyway.
Just to get used to that.
That's -3.
Whoa. Oh,
wow. It's a hefty, you know, thematically appropriate for what you're getting at, though. So I assume, Zach, that you know that psychometry exists and is taught to psychics at Orpheus.
Sure. I figure an Orpheus psychic isn't just going to read my palm because they want me to grease their palm with silver or whatever.
Right. So, like, she touches your palm and her eyes roll back and she spaces way the fuck out. So, Caitlin, you, in your mind's eye, see, you know, a little skinny kid with a unruly shock of black hair traipsing around in the woods with a bunch of other kids. This is a very impressionistic, like a rush of soft images that flow into one another. And you see him sitting around a campfire with a bunch of kids, like singing songs, roasting marshmallows. And then you see in the day, the kids are all getting onto a bus, like a repurposed school bus with like a little summer camp banner on the side of it. And you see this kid wandering out further into the woods. And none of the children seem to notice, or the counselors seem to notice, that he's gone. And you see him sort of kind of death marching, just trudging like he's in a dream, deeper into the forest, and your spirit follows him as he goes deeper into the woods. And he stops in a clearing where there is a dead deer lying there on its side. And there's a shaft of sunlight piercing the clouds above, and it looks like strangely idyllic despite the dead animal. And you see a just unspeakably kind of inhumanly beautiful woman with very high cheekbones and bronze skin, black hair, like very clearly of Native American descent, wearing a elegant black dress that trails behind her like a bridal train that seems to be made of black feathers, appears suddenly in the clearing next to the dead animal and reaches her hand out for the small child, and the child walks up to her and takes her hand, and they begin to turn and walk away deeper into the woods. And now you're back in the van with Zach. Who is that child?
You all right?
Zach, you're the child.
I'm a grown man, ma'am.
yes, but the crow, when it was speaking to me, you're the child that it spoke of from years ago.
Is this ringing any bells for me?
I mean, this is real close to where you lost your way all that long time ago. I mean, you know, you were a kid. You weren't great at orienteering at that point, so, you know, you don't know the exact place.
Sure, but is what I remember just getting lost, or do I remember...
You remember getting lost and then floating in a warm light where a motherly voice spoke to you for a while. You don't remember most of what she said, but you remember a sense of being comforted by the voice and told that everything was going to be all right.
Huh. Well, didn't keep me last time. I should probably, everybody else has talked to these crows. Maybe I should take a stab at it.
Agreed.
Do you want to stay here or do you want to come with?
Oh, I want to come with.
All right. Well, Koji, give me a hit off that, and let's,
Oh, yeah, my man! Yes, of course! This is a little something special.
All right.
I'll hand over the blunt.
Sure.
Oh, something to point out that reminds me. One of the things that was packed with your stuff is a designer stimulant powder that Orpheus made that they are giving to you because they believe it should be able to counter some of the effects of depressant and psychoactive party drugs, which you may be forced to take with the cult. So if you can sneak this powder around, it might be able to keep you a little sharper. But you can't just take it and have it last for hours. Its effects last more like minutes. So it's something to hide.
Sure.
What is it
in? If anything. Like just a little tiny plastic tube with a wax seal on the top.
It makes perfect sense for me to have that. Because I know what all my drugs are and my ingredients and everything, so...
Yeah,
in my party kit.
It might be easy for you to sneak it in, because they're used to you carrying all kinds of goodies around.
No, I have a party kit. I'll just put it in my party kit.
Yeah, so that... Yeah, but you guys do have that. So, you're gonna take a stab at it. All right, Zach, what do you do?
Well, I'm gonna get out of the van, hand Koji his blunt back, and walk towards those crows. Still gonna walk sort of slowly and warily.
All right. They are all following you with their eyes. And one of them glides down from the branches and lands on the ground very close in front of you, looking up at you. And then another does and stands a short distance behind the first one. And then several more come down and they park themselves on the ground in the shape of an arrow, pointing deeper into the woods.
They are saying stuff.
Yeah, they sure are. All right. Well, real quick, Koji, here's the keys. Toss them to Dr. Miyazaki.
I assume he doesn't catch them.
Yeah. Okay. I think I fumble, then catch.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you're catching them one-handed. And then lock up the van. Maybe try and pull it off the road, but lock it all up. And,
Okay.
And, yeah, I'll blaze a trail.
All right. Yeah. I'll blaze a trail.
Yeah, it's pretty good. That's a pretty good one.
I'll do that. That's simple.
Guess we'll see what these crows have to say. Gonna walk in the direction the arrow points.
All right, they take flight up into the air as you walk along that line, and you soon emerge into a clearing, and it's almost like a dream. The air has a hazy quality to it. It feels warmer than the chill fall air was, like much more pleasant. There's a fragrance of flowers, of wildflowers on the wind that wasn't there a second ago. And you have a powerful sense of deja vu. Not you, Caitlin, but it is also dreamlike to you. Like it's like you've walked into a very different place, even though you're just a few feet away. And there's a sense of weight to the air, almost as though you were standing underwater. And in this clearing is a doe deer laying dead in the clearing under the sun. But there's no smell of rot. It's very freshly dead. And you have a sense of warmth and disconnectedness from your physical bodies. And I'd like both of you to roll stability to see how sharply you keep your wits about you.
I assume I haven't caught up yet.
Right.
Okay. And by the way, point of order, I will bring my party kit with me.
Okay. Hey, crows, you want some of this?
Well, yeah, if we get caught by the cultists, I don't want to not have that with me.
Instability is based on willpower?
Yep.
All right. Well, I got a net of 1, since I rolled a negative 2 and I have a 3. I am going to spend 2 strain to bring that up to a 3.
All right, so you do have stability?
I have stability
skill.
2.
Okay. How about Caitlin?
I got 5. Total.
You have a 5.
Yes.
All right. Damn.
I got plus 3.
And what was your result, Zach?
3 total after spending a couple strain.
Okay. You are aware of the differences, Caitlin, in the atmosphere and stuff, but you're not, your thoughts are not affected. Your mind is not affected. Like, you're very sharp and wary. You feel a little bit like not drunk, but buzzed. Is kind of how you feel, except without any of like the stomach parts of it. It's just that tingle and little motor control thing going on. But you don't really think too much of it as a thing. And the cloud of crows suddenly descends upon the dead deer and begin to just tear at its flesh in a storm of beaks and flapping. And in like an unnatural speed, they basically skeletonize this deer over the course of like 10 seconds. They then begin to congregate and swarm over each other and bite into each other and link feet with one another. They build an avian scaffold in a roughly human shape and begin to extrude the reconstituted substance of this deer, which before your eyes forms itself into a woman wearing a black dress of feathers, which is all that's left of the birds. I need you to make an additional stability check. This one is harder for Caitlin because she is not anesthetized.
Oh, because he took the blunt?
No, because he failed the other check.
Oh, I did? Oh, okay. You with my stream?
Yep. But it's actually good that you failed that one.
Well, if I don't, I was going to fail it even with the stream, I wouldn't have spent it.
Well, but that's the one piece of information I can't give you.
Sure.
Because then the game plays itself.
I got a 3, and I'll spend 1 more strain and bump it up to a 4.
Okay. You are fine, actually, because you realize that this is what you saw when you were a kid. Like, you didn't remember, but this is how she came to you before.
I bet it was a lot scarier then.
Yeah, well, that or you were even further inured to it.
Sure.
Because, you know, kind of the Pied Piper thing.
He is actually He did take a hit, though. He may,
yeah,
that
yeah,
may
maybe
help
that's
him.
Why. Maybe that's why. Maybe that's why those dice came up the way they did. Caitlin, what did you get?
How much strain can I spend?
Well, what's your willpower? Your stability skill.
It's stability is willpower, right?
Yeah, but like stability is the name for the damage, but it's also the name for the defensive skill, which maybe I need to call something else. I don't know. But like, do you have the skill stability? It's a combat skill.
Oh, no.
Because you can only spend one spiritual strain to get a plus one. That's all you got.
Okay, well then I have
and
a
it is willpower,
four but... total.
A four total?
Yes.
Did you spend a strain
I did.
For that?
I spent a strain, sorry.
Okay, good. Hey, that actually gets it. You do manage to hold it together, but you see this incredibly impossible thing take place in front of you, and then Koji gets out into the clearing and needs to make the same check, but not quite as bad, because you just see a ethereally beautiful woman in a dress made out of crow feathers standing... you know, ankle deep in the bones, the bleached bones of a dead deer, all of a sudden.
Okay, so I'm at willpower is three. I don't have any stability. That's interesting. Okay. So willpower three. Ugh. I got a minus two on the dice, so that would put me at a one. And I don't have anything, so nope. I'm gonna just go in with a one.
Wow.
All right, so you are gonna take 2 points of stability damage unless you want to spend two.
I will definitely spend that strain, no
yeah,
question.
Clearly you do.
I spent two strain for it.
Yeah, like you're a little freaked out. There's this woman and you know that there's something completely unnatural about her and she's not a real person and it's got to do with the crows and like she's got a plan and you don't know what it is and it feels like she's looking at you from... hundreds of places all over her body at once, but she doesn't have more eyes than two, but that's still what's happening. But...
oh, shit.
Zach, you're experiencing the scene as almost completely washed out with warm light. She's almost just a silhouette in this sort of ocean that you're all suspended in. And she looks very intently at Zachary, and only Zachary hears...
You've come back.
I did, yeah.
I'm afraid that the other child is intent on causing harm to all, to your world.
So Jerry's up to something then. He's not to some crackpot.
As I spirited you away, so too was he, but not by one such as me. We would be similar to your eyes, but in truth, we could be no more different. I fear that... the other child, the one Gerald, is part of a conspiracy against your human race. I have little time to assume this form and speak to you, but know this. My counterparts, my shadows, they must not be given time to finish their acclimation. Only in their infancy are they sufficiently at odds with their environment to be destroyed. They must not be given ample time to be born.
So is Jerry bringing shadows? Is he helping them acclimate?
If there is even one called Gerald left by now.
So is something in him? Something that needs to be taken down, or...?
That is what I fear, though I do not know for certain. You should know that I saved you because of the way that your blood called to me. You are special in a way that humans cannot yet understand.
You feel like you're being pushed toward the surface of a body of water, like you've dove down very deep, and you're rising faster than normal buoyancy would allow, and you find yourself in the clearing, and this cloud of crows all sort of regurgitate the chewed rot of this deer back into where its skeleton was and fly away, and you're left with this preternaturally quickly decomposed deer carcass. In a sunny clearing, your head reeling from your experience.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Zach sort of stumbles over towards a tree at the edge of the clearing, leans on it.
And yeah, all you two saw was that it was staring really closely at him, and he seemed very spaced out. And this took place over the course of like 2 or 3 seconds.
I'll rush over to Zach. Zach, are you okay?
Whew. Well, I think I will be. Shit.
Do you need to sit down?
Nope, I'll
what
be
happened?
Nope, I'll be good. I'll be good. He sort of
what happened?
Pounds his fist into one of his thighs and stands up, stretches a little bit. Whew.
What happened, man?
Well, Gerald, the leader of the Prophecy Children, like I was telling Dr. Kate, I was right around here when I disappeared for a little while. And he and I were on the same bus with the same camp. But that crow angel, she saved me. She got me away from it. So that whatever took all the others, whatever took Gerald and spat him back out, didn't get me.
So, you're saying that this started when he was a child?
Oh yeah. Yeah. She said that there was something, some shadow inside of him, that it was, that there are other things like her, demons, that if they get acclimated, if they get used to our Earth, then we won't be able to stop him. And that there's something like that in Jerry.
Well, tomorrow, you know Jerry's prophecy, right? You've read my briefs.
Yeah. It's going to be a whole new way of living.
We need to act quickly.
Yeah, we do. We got to stop him. We got to stop this. His whole new way of life's probably just letting demons walk the earth or some batshit bullshit like that.
Orpheus protocol would suggest that if we cannot contain this, that we eliminate it, I assume. That's your assessment as well?
GM voice from the sky says yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yep.
I know Jerry. He's... Actually, question. Sure. Would this idea of a darkness pervading him, like entering him and taking control of him, and that him not really being himself anymore, is that sound like something that would be substantiated by what I've seen of him?
It's sort of shocking to you, because his defining strength really is his personal magnetism, is his warmth and empathy and ability to understand other people's pain and help them feel better, and to a degree that even puts you to shame. And the idea that some sort of inhuman presence would be lurking inside of him seems so weird to you.
Okay.
Do I remember anything of Jerry when he was Jerry and not Gerald? Like, do I remember anything
good
of
question.
Him from summer camp?
Yeah, okay. Yes. This is what I would call a luck check. This is something where there's something that I don't have a specific plan for, and it could go either way. I roll 3 dice, and, you know, so they'll come up somewhere between -3 and +3, and so that's how lucky things are. And if I had been shit to you guys and given you memento mori by fucking your checks over so far, you can take memento mori, and one of the things you can spend them on is saying, all right, this luck check's a +2. Like, don't even roll it. It's just super lucky for us. That's one of the uses of them. But I'll just actually roll it, and it comes out as a wash. So you remember that Jerry was a little bit shy, but once he was sure that you weren't going to bully him or make fun of him or anything, he was very, very friendly and very concerned with the feelings of other people. He was always, like, the first to want to, like, make sure that the teams were even and that nobody was getting left out of activities and that everyone was having fun. Like, a very kind-hearted child.
Hmm. Well, I mean, she told me that these shadows have to be stopped before they acclimate. And I asked her if one of those shadows was in Jerry, and she said there may not even be somebody. Gerald may not even exist anymore. So, I mean,
That doesn't really match up with what I know of Gerald. He's such a sweet guy. He's always taking care of people and tending to his flock. I'm going to whisper this and kind of shy away from Crowtown. Can we trust her for what she said to you?
The crows fly up into the air and swirl in a spiral and then form up into a wedge, like a goose flying formation almost, and fly away. Make a raw cognition check, any of you?
Raw cognition. Gah. 0.
Nice.
Wow. 4.
3.
Okay, 4 is enough. Caitlin, you realize that the direction that they're flying and the arrow that they made in the sky pretty much exactly corresponds to where Miyazaki reported was this residence of this retired special effects artist.
Koji, I mean, after all of the reports and all of the evidence we've gathered, we knew something not great was going to go down. Even without the fanciful...
No, I mean, we expected something not great was going to go down. We thought that could be a possibility, but man, I met this guy. We don't have anything. We don't know that any of this is going on except what he's saying. This lady saw, talked to him, and man, I have had trips like this before, and I'm glad I didn't act on them.
I saw the fanciful crow lady. I believe Zach.
I mean, she did save me. Whatever took Jerry just took everybody else. It sent Jerry back, but like 20 kids and 5 counselors and a bus driver are just gone forever. They've never come back.
That checks out. Like, you guys remember, it was a big news story. It was something that considered unsolved to the point that it's something that Orpheus has in its archives.
Okay, let's play it like this, man. Let's assume the worst. Let's assume Jerry's up to really no good, and that whatever's in him is gonna bust out and cause all sorts of hell tomorrow. But let's keep a grain of salt on what this crow lady just said, right? Like, we don't know her deal. We don't know what she's getting at. I'm not in the habit of, maybe it's all the we, but I'm not in the habit of just trusting any old spirit who talks to me, you know what I mean?
I mean, I get that. I mean, sure, like my grandma said, the devil can assume a pleasing shape, but
there you go. Were there, that was pretty pleasing.
I don't know. She's not of our world. That's what she said, that she's not from our place. But, I don't know, the carrion creatures and, like, the deer and everything, I don't know, it feels honest to me. It feels... real.
Like I said, let's proceed under that assumption, but let's just keep an open mind, you know what I mean?
Well, sure, man. I mean, I'm not just gonna start going in there and popping people's heads like grapes just because I feel like it. Let's go and do what we were gonna do.
That sounds good.
Go in there, let's send what results we can via radio back to HQ and just let them know where we're going and what we saw.
All right. So according to your watches, it's getting close to the time that you had set to meet with a representative from the cult. So,
real quick.
Yeah.
Before we do that, I want to have a brief conversation with Koji. Is that okay?
Yeah, 100%. And then, go ahead, actually.
Okay. So my understanding is that we're going to go in here, look for anything that's out of the ordinary, and hopefully be able to contain Gerald. But if push comes to shove and we have to make a choice, Koji, you're with us on this, right? You're not going to be an issue?
Oh, no, man. I mean, I've gotten them doped up, but I'm not going to take a bullet for them. No, of course. Orpheus signs my paychecks.
Can I roll an empathy to make sure that I believe him?
Yeah, and if you have any...
It's not deception.
Okay, so yeah, any result, you'll be like, yeah, he's telling the truth.
Okay, that's... I just want to be sure. Okay.
Although I have a 5 in deception, I probably will crush it.
yeah, I have a 1 in empathy.
Yeah. So you guys are to meet with people from the cult, and time's ticking by, so it's time to get going. So I assume you pack all your stuff up
and you head off deeper into the woods to the estate of Benjamin Weiss, the special effects visionary who retired from the public eye a few years ago and very publicly left his entire estate to the Prophecy Children.
Oh my god, do you guys know what he quit, right? Birds came out just like... What year is it? 69?
Yeah, it's 1969 now.
1969? Birds came out 6 years ago. Do you think he worked on this? This could all be a not a coincidence, the opposite of a coincidence. This could be when things come together and line up.
Those birds didn't attack us.
No, but he's been living out here, man. He's been speaking to the birds. What if he gave Hitchcock the idea? Holy shit.
I mean,
I gotta watch that movie again.
Sure. I mean, next time it's in the theaters, I'm sure.
Yeah, because it's like home video isn't a thing.
Yeah. Right. That's a good point.
All right. Well, and so you guys roll out deeper into the woods. It's getting to be like a late afternoonish time. And
while we're in the car, like, is there time for us to just send a like radio back to Orpheus real quick and just
not absolutely
tell them everything? But
yeah, what do you want to tell them?
Well, I'd want to give them coordinates for where we experienced the uphill rolling phenomenon.
Sure.
Whatever readings I can say quickly that corroborate that, I guess, indicate that near that site, contact was made with a supradimensional entity.
Uh-huh.
Be careful what you say on these things, dude, because, like, you know, I don't think these guys are listening, but I don't know what's in every one of these rooms. We got to be careful with what we... If they're suspicious... I don't think they're suspicious, but, man, you got... Be careful, dude. That's all I'm saying.
I guess if we've got any
language... Yeah, absolutely. You didn't actually say those things exactly out loud, right? Like, you had innuendo language that you use for all of those things, like standard phrases.
Yeah, I mean...
Okay.
And, like, you did a challenge and response before you even started talking to someone.
Sure.
Okay.
So you make that report and drive to where Koji had left his car. 20 minutes later, both vehicles reach the mouth of the winding dirt road that leads to the late Benjamin Weiss's lonely mansion in the woods. The Orpheus Protocol is a game in development by Barkalak Press. Beta rules and updates available for free download and use at orpheusprotocol.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Lord of the Stith and follow the show at Orpheus Protocol.
I'm at Just Dan Online on Twitter and at various LARPs around the Pacific Northwest when I get the chance.
You can find me at Definitely Stacy and be sure to check out my other show, Cthulhu and Friends.
Well, you can find me at John Harp on Twitter, and you can also follow my film work, Rob, and some other folks at Sarah Films, and they're on Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, and sarahfilms.net. I'm also a partner at AWOL Studios, which is awolstudios.net, and at AWOL Studios on Twitter.
Next time on the Orpheus Protocol. Just what led Benjamin Weiss to suddenly leave all his worldly wealth to a New Age cult? And why is even Koji not allowed in some parts of the house? Find out next time on The Shudder, Part 2.